the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right, we are back here on Monday Night Talk, the final segment. This is going to be the best segment, and I'll tell you why. A gentleman who is joining us, I earlier equated him, and I hope he accepts this. I see him as kind of like the Johnny Most of hockey here, and you know how passionate Johnny Most was. But he might have a little bit more edge to him. A guy who, when you're watching the game and listening to the call, his call of the game, it's like none other. Who am I talking about? Nesson's Jack Edwards, voice of the Boston Bruins. You can find him on Twitter at Real Jack Edwards, if you will. Now, the magnitude of this guest, I had to put together a montage because you got to pay such homage to a guest like this. Larry, roll the best of Jack Edwards.
Call coming here against Chad Rose, and he's just yapping all the way to the box. Oh, it's got to be tempting to give him an extra two for the mouth. But the goal scorer who tied it is going to go and sit and watch the next couple of minutes. Michael Ryder, the Bruins extending themselves to try to defend a one-goal lead late. Hamlet goes down as if shot. Get up! Here comes Cavallari. Montreal trying to nurse ridiculous calls out of the referees. Parcillo takes it down. Jones on the end board. Lucic hammers it. Down goes Jones. And how is this for irony? The crowd wants a call for a hit from behind. It's true. What a game we got going. Lucic mashes Jones. Cry me a river. He's got a breakaway. 3-on-5. Campbell. And he scores. And now an ode to the composite stick. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, I give you Mr. Jack Edwards. Welcome to Monday Night Talk, sir.
It's good to be with you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Would you like to say hello to Mr. Matt Nelson, who is in studio as co-host?
Yeah, you know, Matt is the reason I still have a job at Nesson. He did all the hard work and also got coffee on time and nice and hot all season long. So, yeah, Matt and I go back quite a ways. He was an outstanding intern at Nesson. He's got a bright future.
Attaboy, Matty. Way to go. Where's my water? Just kidding. I got to start the conversation off with you, Jack. Last night, we see the Pens getting yet another cup. Can you at least weigh in on that to start?
Yeah, you know, I think you got to tip your cap to Mike Sullivan because despite all the talent, you still got to get those guys to play together. You got to get them to buy into a system. You've got to get them to play systematic defense, which involves a lot of sacrifice. They lost so many defensemen and still managed to play great team defense. They shut out Nashville twice in a row to finish off the Stanley Cup. So, you know, tip your cap to the Pens. They certainly had a better Stanley Cup final than the officials did because that was just nightmarish last night. I mean, the reversal of what should have been a goal call because the ref blew the play dead when he had no idea where the puck was, and it was actually loose in the crease after being under Matt Murray's glove for about a tenth of a second. I think that probably stands second in recent Stanley Cup final history, only to the goal that ended up finishing the 1999 Stanley Cup when Dallas scored a goal that shouldn't have counted in overtime in Buffalo in Game 6.
How close are our Boston Bruins to being either Nashville or Pittsburgh in the next year or two?
I think two is realistic. I think that it's going to depend on the following things. They've got to find an authentic top pair left shot defenseman to pair with Charlie McAvoy as McAvoy rapidly ascends to the elite level, presuming that McAvoy is going to have a tremendous rookie year, which I think he's going to. Certainly all the signs are there. He's going to go through slumps. He's going to go through the rookie growing pains. But he has poise. He has stick skills. He has tenacity. And he has the fire in his belly that are all the ingredients you want in a player who really, truly has the potential to be great. And if they can find a legitimate top pair left shot defenseman to go with McAvoy next season, that drops Chara and Carlo down to the second pair, and that's a pretty good shutdown second pair. And it would also drop Torrey Krug and either Adam McQuaid or Kevin Miller, depending on which guy they lose to Las Vegas, to the third pair. And if that's what you're going with, I'd take my chances with that decor. But, you know, it's awful hard to find a left shot top pair defenseman who's available, who's not going to blow up your salary structure. I mean, we could all pencil Carl Alsner, the unrestricted free agent from Washington, in there. But if they do that, that's just going to screw them up, because they're going to have to top whatever Alsner's making to pay some of the guys when they become unrestricted free agents, such as David Pastrnak, a couple of years from now.
Matty Ice, you get the next question.
Jack, you mentioned Vegas. Everybody's mind,
the Golden Knights,
heart is now on the expansion draft and who the Vegas Knights are going to poach from each team. Every time the conversation comes up, this town shouldn't have a hockey team. They're too warm weather. We saw upwards of 1 million people in downtown Nashville last night. Does that conversation disappear now?
Well, you know, it depends what ownership does with the franchise. If it's a situation like the Phoenix Coyotes, who have been desperate for a buy-in owner who's going to evangelize the sport, then there's going to be trouble. It seems as if Las Vegas has super deep pockets, so that doesn't seem to be on the horizon. On the other hand, you got a Florida team that made the Stanley Cup final in 1996 and has such low television ratings that a couple of seasons ago, if you sent a limousine to the house of every single person watching the game and brought them to the rink, they still would not have filled the place. So, you know, that's a problem. On the other hand, you go across the state to Tampa in a 20,000-plus seat arena. They fill that place every single night. They could sell more tickets than they sell, and they've got a rabid following. And that's because stable ownership went in there and evangelized the sport, connected with the community, made the team an organic part of that town. And now it's hard to imagine a separation between the Bolts and Tampa Bay. If the Vegas Golden Knights can do that in the first 10 years of their existence, we'll have no worries. That'll be a great expansion franchise. But predicting the future, I'm no good at it. So, you know, we'll have to see what they do. They've got the chance. They won the bidding war, and they've got the chance. But now they got to put it up.
What is it about this team, Jack, that, you know, that has kept you here, being the voice of the Bruins for Nesson? If you had to be in Edmonton prior to Peter Chiarelli, do you feel that you'd be able to get up for every game with whoever was doing color with you, or do you feel you have to thrive in a market like Boston?
Well, I've said this before, Kevin, and I'll probably say it many more times before my time comes, but if you grow up in New England and you're a hockey fan, there really isn't an original six. There's an original one. Mm. It never was my dream to call play-by-play for the New York Rangers. I love Chicago. It's an awesome city, but I don't think they'd have me. Montreal, come on now. That's a sick joke. And Toronto and Detroit have their own cultures and plenty of homegrown talent to fill those roles. There's something that feels totally at home for me when I call Bruins games. It's my friends listening that I've known my whole life. It's the people I've met along the way, and when I go over the top, they let me know, and if I really screw up, and I apologize sincerely, they forgive me and let me continue. So I'm so at home in this job. I really don't want another. I haven't looked for work since 2008, and I'm not going to. I really want to leave this job horizontally.
Amen. Well, I mean, again, it's you have the. I mean, we played the clip at the start of the segment. I mean, you when you listen to some of the other games around the country, if you listen to, you know, a national broadcast, it doesn't. Your timing is impeccable, and usually you know how to encapsulate the situation with a punctuate. You know, with a nice exclamation mark at the end of whatever you're saying, and so I think. While some fans may go, oh, what is he doing? There are other fans who are cheering you on because we know that you are somebody who's, you know, you're up in the booth while you're calling the game. You're also cheering on the home team.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't serve vanilla ice cream at our ice cream shop. you know, if you want that, there's plenty of it around in the NHL, and you can find it anywhere on almost any channel that covers hockey. But I think that anybody who really seeks fulfillment in his or her job has to be true to him or herself. And that's who I am. I don't go to a hockey game for careful, dry analysis. I go to a hockey game to get excited. I don't want people falling asleep on the couch. I want them jumping on their coffee tables and screaming and yelling. And I think that's sort of an organic part of being a Bruins fan, to get excited at the game, to have a stake in it emotionally, to have it mean something, even if it's a regular season game in early November. If there's something going on that could affect the entire season, or if there's a brilliant play for or against the Bruins, that ought to be exciting. That ought to be one of the most interesting things that happens to you all day long. And if we can make people forget for just a second that they're actually sitting on their couches and that they think they're at TD Garden or some other far-flung arena in the NHL, then we're doing our job. And that's why we get excited. That's why Rick and I laugh so much, because we're getting paid to do a fantasy job. And if we can have people along enjoying it with us, then all the better.
Okay, we're speaking with NESN's Jack Edwards, voice of the Boston Bruins. Find him on Twitter at Real Jack Edwards. Now, isn't there? Don't we have someone down in D.C. who uses the real part? Is this like the chicken or the egg? Was the at Real Jack Edwards first, or was the at Donald Trump first?
I don't know.
It's a rhetorical question.
I was so new to Twitter a few years ago. Somebody asked me the question: do you like One Direction? And I said, yeah, north. So, you know, I'm not real smooth with social media, and I'm still sort of getting used to it. Matt used to look over my shoulder and laugh at how I would struggle with it, but it's an odd thing, isn't it?
it is, you know, trying to get everything down in 140 characters. I'm still struggling, so I'm with you. We have in studio one of our state reps here on the South Shore, Dave DeCoste, who actually wants to ask a question.
Jack, you're doing a great job at NESN. You've risen to the top of your profession, doing very well. Do you have any comments on what's become of the demise of ESPN and the problems they're having? You seem to be able to make things work. What's going on with ESPN?
Well, first of all, I haven't worked at ESPN since 2003, so I'm pretty distant from it yet. I still live about 45 minutes drive from Bristol, and I have a lot of associates and friends who still work there and have worked there through the years. So I've got sort of a secondhand understanding of what's going on. There was a culture change at ESPN when Disney bought Cap Cities, which was the parent company of ESPN, in the summer of 1995. And when that happened, it went from sort of a cult that celebrated its cult status to being really mainstream and seeking the most fannies sitting in front of the TV that it possibly could. So efforts to Well, let me start that thought over. When I started at SportsCenter in 1991, and I worked SportsCenter from 91 to 99 before I started doing full-time play-by-play, the unofficial motto in the newsroom was serious sports news for serious sports fans. And I've never known a serious sports fan who didn't like a good belly laugh. So in the course of a half-hour SportsCenter, there were always a couple of moments where you'd get a chuckle in, but you weren't swinging for the downs on every single pitch. You know, you weren't trying to hit a home run when really what your team needed was a sacrifice bunt to just move the runner into scoring position. There was that sense that you would get your chance to establish your individuality, yet at the same time, you were talking to a very small audience that knew an awful lot about sports. And you weren't going for just the slam dunk and the three-point shot and the home run and the strikeout. You were going for the thing that you noticed and that your production team noticed that maybe nobody else in the whole world of sports media noticed. And that's what made SportsCenter so interesting. When Disney took over in 1995, it became formulaic. There literally was, and I believe still is, a survey circulated each week that tells people who are putting the shows together not what is the most interesting thing to the most people, but the thing that will cause the most people to tune out. So it's sort of producing not to lose instead of producing to win. And to me, that was the worldview change that occurred when Disney took over the company, and it became totally a profit-driven system. And the irony of it is that although it wasn't a totally profit-driven system before that, it was basically a philosophical statement about how sports should be done on television, it became so unbelievably profitable that it became one of those things that Disney said, well, it doesn't matter how much it costs, we're going to buy it because we got to have those profits in our company instead of somebody else.
Let's get back to talking a little Boston Bruins hockey here. We know that in just a couple of days, well, it's a little bit more than a couple of days, we've got the NHL draft, we've got the expansion draft. Any kind of ideas as to what the Bruins might do? I mean, where they might want to go with the draft picks, or as far as who they might lose? Who might they lose?
Yeah, well, let's start with the draft choices, because the priorities for this team clearly are to get a left wing who can make David Krejci shine. Maybe that's Anders Bjork, the star from Notre Dame who passes up his senior season in college to try to make the Bruins right out of Notre Dame. If he can do that, if he can be an impact player as a rookie, that would be a wonderful development. Most observers are kind of skeptical that he can make the jump from being an outstanding college player to being an outstanding NHL player. And you've got to be an outstanding player if you're going to be a top six forward on David Krejci's line. You've got to score a lot of goals, and that's one of the hardest things to do in all of sport. So I think the Bruins are still looking for somebody who would fit that bill. Don Sweeney has said that his mid-first round draft choice is in play if somebody wants to make the right offer. But again, championships are won with defensive cores. That's why Nashville got as far as it did, despite losing Ryan Johansson in the playoffs. That's why Pittsburgh was able to win, because they beefed up their D after Chris Letang went down and didn't even play a minute during the playoffs, because they had so much depth of guys who would buy into the system and play through it and do the right thing. That's what the Bruins need. So even though the Anders Bjork and left wing for Krejci thing is a priority, I would say that the top priority is finding that legitimate first pair left shot defenseman who's going to complement Charlie McAvoy for the next 3 to 5 years as this team reopens the Stanley Cup window. If they can do that, I think the Stanley Cup window reopens in 2018-2019. I see 2018, the coming season, as being akin to what Toronto just had in this past season. A young team,
yep.
An exciting team, a team that clearly has a fantastic future and a lot of potential of players who are arriving right now. And they showed the league they needed to be taken seriously by everybody. And this year, Toronto is going to be able to contend if they can play to that potential and continue to grow. I think the Bruins are just 1 year behind them.
See, I'm kind of bummed out because I used to like the beatings that the Bruins put on Toronto. So I just liked it. It was usually a W that you could count on. But last year, it was tough. Matt?
Jack, as you and I well know, timing is everything in the sport of hockey. The first episode of Nesson's new weekly summer show, Bruins Summer Faceoff Live, is the day after the expansion draft and the NHL Awards. Tell us about the show.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to get into it. This is part of the beauty of working the Bruins for Nesson is that there's an arm's length relationship with ownership. As everybody knows, the Red Sox own 80% of Nesson and the Bruins own 20% of Nesson. Yet I've never been told what to say on the air, and I've never been scolded for anything I have said on the air. So I think what you're going to hear is a frank discussion of the state of the Bruins, where they're going to stand and what their future looks like. And this is going to be a fun summer because no matter what Don Sweeney does, you know he's going to stick to his plan, and we're going to see how it's going to evolve. The moves he's able to make or the moves he chooses not to make because the price to make those moves is too steep. Personally, I'm looking forward to it. I think we're able to voice our opinions as well as they're well informed, and our whole staff does our best to be that way. So, yeah, bring it.
So does that mean you don't get a vacation? You don't get any time off? No R&R?
Listen, I wish that my vacation had started last night with my hair soaked with champagne. But, I have a lot of downtime during the off season, and that's okay. But at the same time, I probably spend an average of anywhere from 2 to 4 hours a day every day during the off season working on my charts and doing research and finding out little nuggets about players that I've been studying for 8 or 9 years that I learned something new about because I go a little bit deeper. So there's about a 1-3% chance that kind of information ends up on the air next season because hockey moves so fast, you got to keep track of the puck. But every once in a while, some little nugget that I learned in July ends up spilling out of my mouth in February. So it makes all the off-season research worth it.
So you're going to be trying to pile them up on the new head coach, no longer interim, Bruce Cassidy then, huh?
Yeah, you know, Bruce is he's such a likable guy. He's so humble. He wants it so bad. He spent so much time in head coaching limbo after getting a chance with Washington way back at the turn of the century and then working his way back through the AHL and the good job he did, especially with player development in Providence. And he took all the good things that Claude Julien had put in place and he injected a new energy and a slightly different way of looking at things, especially in the front half of the ice. And he was just the right voice for this roster at this time. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do when he's got a full training camp. And I'm really, really looking forward to the first time the Bruins play Montreal because no matter what happens in that game, that's going to be some capital D drama.
Well, Jack, we want to thank you so much for joining us. So hopefully down the road we can have you back on maybe before the start of the season and get a little insight. But we're very happy to have had you on here to kind of talk to the fans here on the South Shore. Anything you want to say to them who are listening right now?
Yeah, you know, I appreciate so much the level of understanding of the game in New England. Throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs, we heard so many explanations of basic rules, and you understand why network announcers have to do that. Occasionally, we had to do that on ESPN, but it's so great to work in front of a knowledgeable audience because the tribe that follows this Bruins team understands the game. They know the history of the team. We can make strange, minute references, and people react to those references because they've known the history of the team, because their moms and dads knew the history of the team, and their grandmothers and grandfathers knew the history of the team. And that's just a beautiful thing. It makes our jobs a dream come true for Brick and me.
Well, Jack, you listen, we thank you so much. You have a great couple of days off until the kickoff of the Bruins Summer Face-Off, which is Thursday, June 22nd at 6 p.m. Until next time, my friend, have yourself a great evening.
Thanks, Kevin.
You got it. There he is. Nessens, Jack Edwards, voice of the Boston Bruins. Check him out on Twitter. Go easy on him. At Real Jack Edwards. Maddie, nice job this evening. You've earned your stripe. You can come back. Representative DeCoste, thank you for being here as well.
Great being here. Thank you for having me.
That's all the time we have until next week at 6:15. Have a great evening.
South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. 95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.